The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. Today's show sponsor are the lovely folks at Locke Associates Group.
Locke Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lockassociates.co.uk.
Today, we're going to be talking about change management, attitudes, soft skills, talent, and all things growth. And we're going to be talking with the fantastic Mr. Neville Gaunt of MindFit Limited and Your Passport to Grow. Neville, good afternoon. Welcome to the Bunker Extra Show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Paul. Hi, everybody. Thanks for inviting me. It's been some time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's been a long time since you were last on. You and I know each other really well, and we talk to each other most days, actually, on social media. But it's been a long time since you were on the Bunker Show. And I thought it was about time we heard from you again, because you're doing some interesting stuff. So why don't we kick off with you just giving us an overview of the two organisations primarily that you're involved with?
Yeah, sure. The two organisations, one is called MindFit Limited, which is focused on C-suite, in other words, the corporate arena, where we talk about behavioural change transforming into effectively increased profit. I mean, that's the bottom line, excuse the pun, of all of that. And the other side of life is the same arena, but actually working with young people, which I know is a subject close to your heart, and helping them realize that actually qualifications will get you so far, but you'll get a job through soft skills and attitude. And that's the difference between the two organizations. But fundamentally, we're focused on performance, growth, as you said it.
Yeah.
Personal growth, business growth, and let's face it, after COVID, don't we all need growth?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've got to work hard, haven't we, to pay off debt, to keep inflation down, to recover our businesses. And we're in a funny, strange situation here. As you know, one of my businesses is a recruitment portal. And one of the weird things that we've got going on at the moment is there's actually an awful lot of jobs out there and nobody applying for them. You've got the hospitality industry, the transport industry, digital, IT, construction are all absolutely crying out for people, and literally no one is applying for the jobs. And I don't mean just no one qualified. I mean, no one. there's been all kinds of excuses put forward as to why that is. And some of them are fairly obvious, you know, like half the bloody workforce is still at home being paid Brexit. For on furlough. And then the other half
exactly.
has gone home because of Brexit. And so all the, all the £10 an hour lorry drivers from Estonia have all gone back to Estonia. So there's a whole range of different reasons, but the upshot of it is there's a lot of opportunities, and now more than ever, getting our young people and our new workforce up to speed, as you said quite rightly, is imperative. I mean, it's always been important, but now it's absolutely imperative because it's the only way we're going to recover.
Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, as you say, we can wax lyrically about the reasons why, but we could spend several programs talking about why and not get on with it. The reason that we need to be focused on is filling the gaps. I mean, it's crazy, as you said, that we've got a huge amount of jobs available in the UK. I mean, I even see on the BBC where the head of the transport arena says, we haven't got enough drivers. We're having to change the rules and change these huge Pantechnicas into trailers so that we can actually deliver more for less. And that's purely because drivers are missing.
Yeah.
And it's a great job.
Yeah. There's a number of reasons for that. One is undoubtedly Brexit, because a lot of the drivers, you know, a lot of heavy goods vehicles are driven across the continent. So a lot of the drivers were European, and they've gone home, not just because of Brexit, but they've gone home because of the pandemic. You know, they don't want to sit around here, you know, when they could be at home with their family. The biggest single problem is for the last 14 months, there's been no driving tests.
Yep.
There's been no HGV driving tests at all. So all the people that were being trained have not qualified because they weren't able to take their tests. So that's been a problem. And, you know, as we said, there's loads and loads of reasons why. What we need to focus on is how to get out of it and what we're going to do to move forward. But again, it's one of those jobs. And this is kind of one of the things I want to talk to you about, Neville. And we're kind of messing it up in terms of all the things that you do, but we'll deconstruct it in a minute. But one of the things I want to talk about that I find it, especially working with young people, and this isn't any criticism of young people because they don't have the experience to know, but we seem to have got to the position where people don't understand the career journey. And what I mean by that is you start at the beginning, then work your way towards managing director. Whereas we got far too many people that think you start as, you get a degree, you start as managing director, and then you go from there. And it's one of those odd things. And I'd like your views on that, really.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's expectations. Hmm. And this is the fundamental part. And let's face it, you and I are old enough in the tooth where your teachers and my teachers said exactly the same thing. Hmm. Get good qualifications, you get a good job.
Yep.
And the interesting thing is 40 odd years ago, it wasn't true then. Hmm. And guess what? 40 years later, it's not true now.
Yeah.
And you do have to start at the bottom.
Yep.
You know, when I came, my route to career, I suppose, was different, slightly different than yours. I came out of university thinking the world was my oyster. Well, yeah. It's just the way I was, you know,
and it's just
what happens, you know. Grammar school to university, it was just expected.
Yeah.
And I came out and fell into a job because, let's face it, when I went to university, there was only 1% of 18-year-olds that went to university. Hmm. Now we're looking at 52%. Hmm. That statistic alone has got to be frightening.
Yeah.
It's a bit like we've got a housing crisis. Why have we got a housing crisis? Because all of the council renting properties have been sold off to people that were living in the rented property. Mm. So there's no rocket science around this, and there's a lot of common sense. But what we need to be doing here is that I think we've got a hangover of the dot-com arena. You know, your companies are mostly in the dot-com arena. It's about, I know you don't charge a huge amount for recruitment because it literally is put the job up and someone will apply.
Yep.
Simple as that. And we'll pound the marketing money down a certain route and we'll make sure that we get plenty of applicants for you. Hmm. Which is a very simple model and you know, worked for many years. And unfortunately, you know, as you said, it's struggling currently, but it'll come back. I mean, undoubtedly, it will come back. But I think what we've got is we've got a lot of young people which are more and more in tune with the social media arena. Mm. And they're seeing the get rich quick.
Yeah.
The simplicity of, I call it, you know, shiny objects.
Yeah.
And they're captured by some very clever marketing. Mm. And ultimately, what they've done is they've been taken in by fake news. Mm. Because as you and I both know, no matter what knowledge you got, it's about doing it. It's about getting out there and doing it. So whether you're selling the big issue, you can be really knowledgeable about what's in the big issue. But the fundamental thing is you've got to get out there and do it. And I'm afraid we've become, and this is not a UK phenomena, this is a global phenomena, all the way around the world, no matter what income arena you're looking at, Middle East, Asia, China, Russia, the UK, Europe, and indeed the Americas. Everyone is looking for this get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah.
Which is what you say. They all want to be managing directors.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we've been taken into this false sense of anyone can be an entrepreneur. And you and I both know that's just not true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone can be enterprising.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's a huge difference between being entrepreneurial
yep.
and being enterprising.
Yeah.
businesses need people that are enterprising.
Yep.
They don't need entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Entrepreneurs don't like businesses because they want to be independent and, you know, do their own thing in their own way. Yep. And they've got this, I don't know, is it a gene? Frankly, I think they're still looking for it. It's a bit like the leadership gene. They're still looking for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't exist.
Well, but that's entirely true, isn't it? Because it's a set of psychological traits that make an entrepreneur, you know, and they're not always actually what you would call good traits either.
No, not necessarily.
You know, they're about risk taking and doing weird things and being different and being, you know, self-sufficient and determined and, you know, whatever other words you want to use. Yeah. And that, you know, that only suits a very small, tiny minority of people. But like you say, the kind of the word and the whole term's been corrupted these days, and everybody thinks everybody should be an entrepreneur. I love what you're saying, and it is very true. And even for me, I left school more than 50 years ago, and even back then, when life was a lot less complicated than it is now, when I left school, you didn't think about choices. You just took whatever job was going, if there was one going. So many of us fell into jobs because it was the only thing available. But the point of it was that once you're in a job or in an industry, you then grow with it and you look at all your options and you learn from it and you assimilate. And even for me back then, life changed very quickly. When I was at school, the word computer didn't exist in the school curriculum. Yeah. Within a few years of leaving school, I worked in computers to the point where a lot of people said, "What's that then?" You know, because it was so new. So you couldn't predict what was going to come along. And you, even more so now, you can't predict where people leaving school now, or you're leaving university now, you cannot predict what they will do in 5 or 10 years' time because most of the jobs they'll do haven't been invented yet.
That's very true. And I think this is the difference between when you and I were lads and today.
Yeah.
Do you remember when colour TV came along? For the benefit of those people watching in black and white, Liverpool were playing in red.
Yeah.
So for the benefit of those people that can only listen to this, I'm actually holding up and showing Paul my iPhone.
Yeah.
Because technology has shifted at such a fast rate. I mean, AI was just two letters in the alphabet. Now, it's not just artificial information or intelligence, but it's augmented intelligence. And then we get digital learning, and then we get machine learning. And all of these things that are threatening, and this is the, I'm not using this term lightly, threatening to take jobs away.
Yeah.
But the reality of life is when that computer, as you said, it wasn't in the dictionary when you were a lad. When that computer became a way of life, we had far more people employed in the computing arena than we displaced in the non-computing arena.
Oh, absolutely. I've actually got some statistics around that just because I'm a snake.
I bet you have.
I remember back in, I started work in what is now called IT in 1972. And back then, Tomorrow's World on TV were running their programs that by 1990, nobody would be working. We'd all have, you know, 70 hours a week leisure because computers would do all the jobs. And then, as you probably recall, Neville, through the 70s and early 80s, a lot of the old, what we call smokestack industry, started to collapse. And we had mass unemployment from the shipyards, from mining, from steelworks, and all those things. And everybody was, you know, really, really upset that we'd lost nearly a million jobs. But from then till now, back when I started, there were 3 jobs in computing. There's now more than 700 different jobs. And in the UK, there's now more than 4.5 million people employed directly in IT. So we lost a million jobs, but created 3 million extra ones on top of the million. And I think that's true of anything. You know, as it evolves, it creates opportunities. You just don't know what they are in advance until they start to come along.
And, well, you're right. And the thing, just jumping in particular, I mean, a lot of young people today, let's just assume COVID hasn't happened for one moment, because that's thrown a complete different curveball at us all. But ultimately, retail was on a trajectory path.
Yeah.
And we were moving slowly away from physical retail to an Amazon type model retail.
Yep.
And I think there was a projection in America that said in the next 5 years, over half of retail jobs will disappear.
Yeah.
But their view, and I was on various discussion panels, they were only focused on the front end retail.
Yeah, yeah.
And what people just don't seem to realize, and again, you know, this is trying to educate people with this program, is that although front end goes, there's a huge back end that's now going to take over.
Yeah.
And we're going to be upskilling. I don't really like using the phrase, be honest with you, because I don't think many people understand it. Yeah. But we are going to be upskilling.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you're going to have to be rocket scientists to work in the back office. Mm. It's just that the job's going to change.
Yeah.
You move customer service from the front desk to the back desk. And because the business is growing, you're actually going to be dealing with far more, let's say, customer inquiries. I won't call them complaints, but typically they are. Customer inquiries than you would have ever dealt with before, which means you just need a different skill set.
Yeah.
You know, and you need to be digitally savvy. And I think that's where young people today have got the advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they've grown up. Do you remember the days when Microsoft came out and we had the Microsoft manuals?
Yeah.
And they ended up being doorstops. They were big, you know, like 5 or 6 volumes.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, I mean, look at the power that you've got on your iPhone or your Android.
Yeah.
Do you remember reading a manual?
Exactly. You don't, do you? You don't know.
You don't. You just literally, it's this click, drag, put, you know, and screw it up. You know?
And Generation Z were born with it in their DNA. When they popped out of their mum's womb, they already knew how to use a smartphone.
They were doing the ET sign, you know.
Yeah,
ET
exactly. No, you're absolutely right.
They've got an advantage.
Yeah. And I've actually said that for a long time. The current Generation Z and probably the generation before are the first two generations in history, certainly in the UK, where young people leaving school, college or university actually had experience over and above a lot of people running businesses already in terms of technology. They already knew how to use technology. What we needed to do as businesses is capture that skill and then move it into something useful for the business rather than making TikTok videos or whatever. But, okay, no, that's really cool, and I think you're absolutely right. I want to talk now, if I may, specifically for the last 10 minutes or so of the interview, Neville, about the work you're doing with Your Passport to Grow, because you're actually unusually – and I say unusually, but it's just because
it's unusual.
We need to know why. But you're doing a lot of work in Pakistan. And I wondered how that came about and what the rationale for that is for you.
The simple answer is it's a coincidence.
Right.
I just happened to be I worked in the oil industry, as you know, for many years.
Yeah.
And I used to commute back and forth from Pakistan about 3 or 4 times a year. Mm. Same in Venezuela, the States, you know, Libya, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And I had an opportunity about 6 years ago now to go on a speaking tour.
Right.
Somebody had seen what I was doing and they thought, actually, Pakistan needs this. They're fed up of psychometric models, workshops that everyone ticks the box and they say, yes, the meal was lovely. The presenter was really nice. And I liked the environment that I was in. And then they just went back to the office and nothing happened. You know, the typical type of knowledge transfer program that happens. And I was basically saying, well, yes, that really won't work for most people because you've got enough knowledge. What you need is to use that and apply it. So I started to run workshops, MindFit workshops, on behavioral waste management.
Right.
One of the guys that I was working with that took me out there said, do you do anything else? You know, do you just work in the corporate, you know, big company arena? And I said, well, interesting enough, I've got a project that I've been having, paper project for a few years. I'd just done one with Greenwich University, as it happened, about, I called it change management, but fundamentally it was employability skills.
Yeah.
And I showed him it in paper form, and then he showed me what he'd built, bespoke system, for a couple of banks.
Right.
And he said, I built this, but I don't know how to sell it. And I said, well, I do. You know, it is an engagement program. And by the way, what you've got will do really well for your passport to grow, YP2G, as we called it. And that's it. And we didn't look back from there. So I've focused all my attention for lots of reasons in Pakistan. I mean, number one, it's got nearly four times the number of people than we've got. The demographic is over 70% of the population are under 30.
Right.
A lot of people listening may not even know this, but young people out there really do want to work. Yeah. They really have this, I can do that attitude. But of course, the problem is they come from a very, let's call it all authoritative arena. It's a military country in essence, you know, when it was through partition in 47. And it's been driven by a military regime for many years. But now it's moving more and more entrepreneurial with Imran Khan out there. And I just happened to be, you know, two things when you're abroad, and I'm sure you've experienced this, especially when you're a white man in a, predominantly non-white country. If you go to America, they love you because you speak English. And they flock around you. And if you're in Pakistan, they love you because you're white.
Right.
And everything that happens, this is not, you know, this isn't a racist approach. It's just that you take advantage of the tools you have. And because they knew me from the behavioral waste management arena, and they knew that worked, immediately you've built up a huge amount of trust. So when you're now dealing with an audience of about 20 to 25 million people in our close target range for YP2G, which is sort of 16 to 22, 23 year olds, it's a big audience compared to the UK of 4 or 5 million. But the other thing is, I keep being told over here, well, we do that. Universities and schools say we do that. And if they were that good at doing it, why would your 30-30 program be so good and so wanted?
Absolutely.
So we know they don't do it.
We got 2 minutes left, Neville, unfortunately, and it's a big subject, and we'll come to it. We'll come back to it again later in the year, I'm sure. But in the last 2 minutes, I just want you to tell me what soft skills, what kind of attitude you think is imperative for young people, or anyone actually, not just young people, but for people coming into the workforce. What is it that you're looking for? What do you mean by soft skills and attitude?
Well, it's been well written. I'm sure you've heard of STEM. I prefer to call it STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and maths.
Right.
And that's what subjects are studied at school.
Right.
It's the skills around it. It's how to communicate with other people, just like we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a radio show. We're talking. People are listening.
Right.
How do we listen? What's that active listening arena? Right. How do we work with other people? What's the teamwork element of you?
Yeah.
Remember, at school, we don't do one exam as a team.
Right.
Not one. And yet businesses want team players.
Yeah.
They want people that can collaborate. These are soft skills.
Yeah.
Confidence, underpinning soft skills. not being not just being able to communicate, but be committed to what you're doing. Have a real purpose.
Yeah.
These things are talked about, but like anything else, we don't do much about it. And it's a sad thing because it's the thing that businesses want.
Yeah.
They want someone to interview that can put themselves forward that really want the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the bottom line.
Sadly, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us a quick shout out for your website so that people can find out more about what you do.
Certainly. It's www.yp2grow.com.
Fantastic.
And it's mindfitltd.com.
Both of those links are on the Business Bunker website and will stay there forever. Neville Gaunt, Mindfit Limited and Y2PG Grow. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Extra Show, and we'll see you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Paul.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.